Today, on our first ever episode of I Stand, has got my buddy Scott Ring, best buddy in the whole world.
Right here.
Yeah. I'm Nick Weaver, and we're going to talk some stuff today. We'll kind of give an introduction to ourselves and what we got going on, and just in this crazy times that we live in here. And so how you doing today, buddy?
Oh, doing good, man.
Yeah.
Pretty nice weather outside, kind of a cool breeze. Feeling good.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, I just kind of want to get into this. We talk about some stuff like, I don't know, kind of how we got connected. I know that we were both in the Navy, and we obviously met up there, and then our lives kind of parted. But before they did, we did a lot of cool stuff together, right?
We did. We were in a band together. We went on two different tours, played a lot of music together, had a lot of fun, and a lot of not fun.
Which is always the case, right? Well, it's pretty sweet because, yeah. You know, when I can look back now and see it from my eyes being open, it's just incredible how we came together and fell apart and came together and fell apart and came back together again. God works in just absolutely fantastic ways, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing to look back and see the roller coaster that we've been riding on.
Yeah, I don't even know other way to put it, but before we get started here, let's do a prayer. You want to lead us in a prayer, buddy?
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for today and the many blessings that have come with this day. Lord, we know that we're not guaranteed anything, not even our next breath, Lord. So we want to thank you for all the many blessings that you have given us. Lord, and thank you for the opportunity for Nick and I to finally get back together again and start this podcast and see what it is that you're going to do with it, Lord Jesus, because we're going to do this, we're going to put it in your hands, and we're going to let it go. And we pray that what we do is going to be beneficial to at least one person. If one person gets something out of this, and we are going to be totally stoked. So, Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for the many blessings and the opportunities to be together and to do this. In your precious name.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. Yeah, no. So, yeah, we played some music and we had some fun. We went around the world a few times and then it was like Armageddon for a friendship. We fell apart.
Yeah.
Women got in the way, whatever it was. And kind of seemed best looking back now. But, I mean, what was your take on that, bud?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about a whirlwind of destruction. Yeah, it just there wasn't a way for us to even stay together. It's kind of amazing. I think even if we wanted to try, it wouldn't have worked anyway.
No,
like God was like, "Look, y'all two need to take some time apart, and I'll hook you guys back up later."
Yeah, it's easy to see now, but man, at the time, sure was stressful. Which is kind of amazing. Like I say, every time you think about the stuff that seems so bad, there's always a blessing in it. That's the kind of that joy that He gives us later on in understanding and vision. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went on to be an absolute drunk and terrible parent and mess up just about anything and everything there was in my way, even though I thought I was doing a good job. And we really don't know anything until we find Christ in our life. And just
that's right. Just yeah, we both went out there and dug some pretty deep holes. And God reached down there, the deepest hole I was in, and jerked me right up out of it.
Yeah, and then we fast forward to barely any connection, and it's about 9-10 years later, and then there was the random pop-up of a Facebook post, and you were getting baptized, and I went, oh, and I just said, hey, congratulations, bud. And
right,
so from there,
yeah,
I mean, it was pretty crazy, because then just kind of felt compelled to say, hey, come on out. And that following Thanksgiving, you were here, and we were just hanging out, jamming. It was almost like it came back, like that. It was like being on a boomerang. We just kind of snapped back to whatever it was, and
right,
had no idea.
It's like nothing had changed. All of a sudden, we were back being buds again. It's like, wow,
yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And then we didn't really even talk that much. I just kind of got into, you know, what's been going on with you, and just amazing the changes that you could see. I mean, you were still my dude, but it was different, man. I mean, you could totally sense it. I talked to my wife about it all the time. It's like, man, it's so different. And then Well, we talked kind of you kind of got me addicted to Paul, which I got to say, it was easy because that guy, who can't relate with that guy? I'm never, right? Never as bad as Paul. I didn't murder 20 Christians. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. Right.
But he's so iconic. I mean, Jesus says, follow me. Right. So I just, I don't know, man. It was like 3 days later and then boom. And then we were talking and working it out. And then Island. And I mean, it was kind of similar for you back when you got saved. Tell a little bit about how you got saved.
Yeah. So, oh man, I guess looking back from this point right here, it's been about a year and a half. I got, I was living the life of drugs, alcohol, partying, hating the world, hating everybody. And a virus that I had caught back in the Navy, which you remember all too well, me getting sick back
then.
Oh,
yeah.
Shut down my kidneys. I couldn't process sugar. Sugar turned into acid. Acid seeped into the blood system. Seizures occurred. I ended up in the hospital with 7 hours of dialysis, basically died on this table. The doctors in the room told my father that he was in there praying for me. Said, well, you know, if there's someone you believe in upstairs, then now's the time because he's on his way out. And God decided he wasn't done with me yet. And so he saved me. He let me come back. After coming out of the hospital, I was sitting in there and they had a Catholic priest guy show up. And I was rude to him. I was very, very rude to him. And he sat down and he talked with me for a couple of hours. Said that I reminded him of him. He's like, you know, you're kind of a prick, like I was a prick. And I was like, hey, yeah, that's cool. You know? And he's like, but I got this book that I need you to read. And I was like, yeah, whatever. So I wrote it down and he left. The next day, he showed back up and he had the book. And I was like, well, you know, you've made the effort. And I'll give you that respect and I'll read this book. And so 8 o'clock at night, I cracked that book open. And it was called The Gift of Being Yourself. We can always put a link of the book if you guys want to check it out. It's pretty incredible.
Absolutely.
But I sat in 4 hours. I read it from 8 o'clock till midnight, and I started at 8, and at midnight I shut that book, and God had opened my eyes to the truth. And it was at that moment, sitting in that hospital bed, I accepted Jesus and pledged my life to Him.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. I got to back you up a minute too, because there was a real power in God in this, because what you didn't know while you were dead, because your eyes were shut, was that your parents, who were deep in the Word and very deep in faith with their group at church, you were saved by prayer, weren't you, bud?
I was saved by prayer. They had told them that I was in the hospital dying, and my church does a prayer group, and they brought me up in prayer, and there was about 12 of them in there. They all prayed and asked God to, it was in His will to keep me around, and that's the only reason I'm here, is I had people praying for God to keep me around.
Yeah, that's probably the most incredible thing ever. I mean, you think about it on the outside, but then after you get in with the Lord, you think, wow, nothing's impossible.
And I didn't even know these people. It's not like I knew none of them. They didn't know me, but, you know, that love.
Absolutely. Yeah, God is so awesome. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, and you fast forward into that, and you just kind of exploded.
I spent a year. I ended up, because I was so sick, they didn't know if I was going to survive still, and so I ended up, I lost my house, my girlfriend left me, I lost my business. I ended up having to move back to my parents' house. I lived in a tiny little room for a long time, with my bed was just on the floor. And for a year, it was just God and I, and just Him and I studying. He's the one who taught. God taught me how to search for Him in the Bible. You know, I told Him, I don't know how to do this, and He showed me. And I spent a year one on one with God, just hammering it out and learning and learning and learning and learning. And then I got baptized somewhere, I believe, around August, July, August time frame, somewhere right in there. And then you hit me up, and then by Thanksgiving, I was sitting out there with you.
I know, it's crazy. And then, like you say, and then enter 3 days after you left, it was like a lightning bolt that hit me, and you sent me a Bible just like yours, which I'm so thankful for that to this day, because it doesn't seem like I can find those old King James versions like that anymore.
Right, the print, I love it.
Yeah, and then just started diving in, and just like you, man, I mean, we ended up going deeper than, I mean, later on finding out why it was the way it was is because it's kind of obscure nowadays. You have the clearly written that, hey, you know, you're taught by God. The Holy Spirit teaches you. It's not you go to school and you're taught. It's God teaches
you. That's right. That's where the understanding comes from. We're told that in the Bible, that's where your understanding comes from. You seek and you will find, knock and the doors will be open, and the understanding comes from Him.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably one of the most amazing things about it. And then fast forward, we end up breaking apart a little bit there again. And
right. Yeah, we got kind of, we separated again.
Yeah. And it was, again, it was hard because it's like, man, we owe all these years, and then we finally get back together and we got all these excitement and ideas, and God said, yeah, we just kind of gave you a glimpse. So back off for a minute again. And
right.
And it was clearly, you know, in hindsight, it was to do His work on me to get me up to snuff, I guess. And we, I don't know. I really don't know how to explain it. The last 7 months of my life has been an absolute trial by fire. I mean, between myself, my wife, who we'll have her on another time, and has had her issues, and we have grown in such amazing ways in short periods of time, and even through COVID-19. I mean, when you think it would be the worst thing ever, and it was bad.
Legitimately, like trial by fire.
Yeah, yeah. And being able to look back over it and just see all the blessings in it. There's so much joy in it. It's not prosper gospel. It's not, oh, yeah, you're going to be rich. It's not that. Like, the things that we've been through, and my rewards are, and it's so hard because you feel, like I say, on an island. I've been to so many churches, and I've felt so misplaced in all of them, in all these different churches, and just screaming kind of like Elijah, hey, you know, where's all these other ones? You know, like, what is going on? Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, it's a big joke. You got these, there's 7,000 others. Yeah, well, there's millions of others. Yeah. There's a needle in a haystack. Where are they? Can you put a dog tracker on them or something so I can find them? And going through all that, I got the blessings of seeing my son, you know, my daughter. These two kind of lit up. The other three are still in process. But then my wife coming right around full circle and all the blessings that have been in that. And then I quit my job. I got to go back to work, and I realized I was just sin for sin back and forth, and it wasn't right. And God laid it on me. Hey, you know, you can't live like this. And then honestly, He says, you know, drop your fishing poles. If you're not willing to follow me, well, I did. I dropped everything, being behind on mortgage, being behind on everything. And I had no safety.
Put your faith in God and God alone.
Yeah. And even with my wife and my grandfather, I mean, anybody I talked to, they were like, hey, that's dumb. You've got this and this to do. But I was like, you know, this stuff isn't where my treasure is. I mean, I know this. And it was difficult. It was a very difficult decision. I mean, I made friends of a homeless man for a day making that decision, which was awesome too. And then, I end up going to work, and I find out my boss is one of the most amazing people ever. Which I always knew anyway, I guess. And his connection with God, and he sat down, he kind of gave it to me straight. And then at that point, God had changed how I dressed. He changed how I act. He changed how I looked at things. No more drinking. No more bad habits. Like, I even rooted out sports and everything else. I was huge into football, NASCAR, you name it. And it was just like a total reboot. And just the outlook on things. It's not about, oh, yeah, you know, keeping up with the Joneses like it always felt like it was before. It's different.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ends up giving me the ultimatum. He's like, hey, man, I understand where you're at. And he's like, and you do what you got to do, and I support you. But, hey, take this time, pray on it. And I wasn't sure. I had like 5 days to sit and pray and think and stew, so to speak. And I didn't feel like God was pulling me away from it or putting me back at it, but it still didn't feel right. And so I went back. And then the whole time I'm thinking, man, did I make the wrong decision? Did I just let the devil trick me to going back to what it was? And then fast forward a month, and one of the impossible things for work led me out here to you. And then boom, I come out and I get baptized by a pastor who had never met me, but had supported me regardless. Those same people that were there for you. And I finally got to experience just the brotherhood as it was, and the love, and that was such an amazing experience. And then it almost seems like we kind of got rebooted again. Now I'm cautious because we don't know. This could get pulled apart again for another year or two. We don't know. But we do have this podcast to share. So we should be able to at least
have this podcast.
Yeah. So we should be able to keep this going in some way, shape, or form. And the amazing things that God does every day that we don't give any second glances at typically as human beings. And we think that, you know, oh, heaven is right here in our house, and it's so not true. And
oh no.
And just to think of how far we've come and what God has done in our lives in such a short span. And truly, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, there's something to be said about feeling like you wasted 35 years of your life. But then again,
yes, and that's one thing that we want to really kind of punch at is, like, you know, there's the people out there who come to Christ later in life. You know, we have an appreciation, for what God gives us now versus those who, not saying that it's wrong to grow up in church and be a Christian your whole life, but coming to the Lord later in life, you have a deeper appreciation for what it is and the gifts that God offers.
Oh, absolutely. It's the difference of being trapped in the desert of, day one, you got yourself a drink of water. Well, that was cool, but you never knew what being thirsty was. And you go 35 years without one, and man, you don't want to let your mouth off that hose. So
you keep digging.
Yeah, no, don't take that away. What do I got to do? You know, like, but it is, it's an absolute blessing to be able to see it that way. So I wouldn't trade any of the trials and negatives beforehand, because in no way would I be able to take it in and appreciate it the way I do. And that goes with a lot of things in life. There's a lot of sound wisdom in that, I think. But
Well, like Paul tells us, you know, don't hate your youth.
Yeah.
You know, and it's exactly like we had you look back and you're like, man, I sure wish I would have found this out earlier. And as a boy, sure would have been nice if I'd have found this out earlier. But it's like when you finally come to the realization God shows you, he's like, hey, look, I came and dug you out of that hole. Right when I needed you out of that hole, I needed you to see the world, and I needed you to experience a few things so that I can use you for the things that I need to use you for.
Yeah, which enters into a new question. What is it?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and that question, oh boy, and you know what? I don't think there's ever an end to the question. You know, it's like there's always going to be something you'll accomplish something. Like, that was awesome. Like, for example, you know, when I got accepted the Lord, and for that year, I was just in that room praying and learning, and I was asking God every day. I was like, all right, you know, I was a, you know, pretty worthless pile of garbage, and you saved me. Why? And, well, part of it was to meet you again, to get back with you. Like, cool, awesome. And now he's got something else. And then after this, it's going to be something else. And so it's like this constant, he's going to constantly use you. And so you have to just keep yourself up to pace with it all. You know, it's exciting and scary all at the same shot, you know?
Well, the loneliness in which I've experienced, I can say this, that never ejecting from the Word of God. I mean, that is our fountain. That is our bread. That is everything. We need to be getting into that at a constant. And it's not, I showed up Sunday and I feel good about this. No, it's spending time with our Father. I mean, that's what we're doing. And that's where we live. And that He disciplines us in it too. I don't know how many times I've been crying because I felt like he just stabbed me in the heart with the truth of what a terrible person I am. Like how selfish you jerk. It's like, oh yeah, thanks.
We're told not to be upset when he does it, because a father will correct his son. It's not out of hate, but it's out of love. And so when he corrects you, not to be upset about it, but to be joyous, be like, oh, you know, hey, he set me right.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are probably the most comforting words. David says it in Psalms. It's said multiple times. And that's the other craziest thing too. Like, just the understanding itself. There's just no end to what you get out of just having that conversation and that feeling of knowing that this isn't what it's all about. That is what it's all about. And keeping your eyes locked on heaven and on God and knowing that we are nothing without him. We've done nothing without him. There's nothing I've done that he didn't allow me to do or given the capability of doing.
That's right.
So I truly am a pile of crap if you minus the Lord from my life. So with him,
right,
great things can happen. Without him,
and that's a
lost.
Yeah, and that's that decision, you know, of not to be a passive Christian. It's not a passive lifestyle. You know, you have to get off the fence and make a choice on which side. And when you make the choice to go with Jesus, which is the greatest decision you can make, you can't live passively. You learn and you continue to learn and you dive and you dig and you dig and you learn and God moves you, but you can easily become stagnant.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it's that keep yourself motivated and, you know, find other people to talk with and stick with and listen to, like here on this podcast, come and listen to us jabber jaw at each other and about our experiences and how we learn from God. And, you know, don't be a passive Christian.
No, absolutely not. And you bring it up, fence riding. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, that's the scariest thing about it all. It scares the crap out of me. I mean, the fact that you don't, it doesn't take much to get lured back into the darkness. It doesn't take much for a little shiny object to take your attention away. And man, we got to be so careful in what we do, because I don't want to be those ones that are spewed back out of the Lord's mouth at the end, because that would be just the worst, knowing him and being one of those guys going, Lord, Lord. And he goes, yeah, I didn't know you. And be like, oh, crap. And I was so close.
Right. Why? I never knew you. Like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, right. You get so close to the finish line and then boom. Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, I totally muffed that up. And it's not like you get to fix it. You're just done. And that's eternity, bud. Yep. So 35 years. I guess I could take that loss, but the next 35, I ain't quitting. So,
right. That's next 10,000. I'm in a dead sprint.
Hey, Lord willing, I just want to get there, man. I don't care what side of it, what part of it, man. I could be in the ghetto. If there's a ghetto, I'll take it. You can call me Jesse.
Right.
You can call me Jessica. You can call me whatever you want. I don't care. I'm happy to be here.
Right. It's like, you know, you're going to get to the gates and they look down and be like, why should we let you in? I'm going to look over at Jesus like, I'm with him. Like, I'm with him because I don't deserve to be here, and it's I'm with him.
Absolutely. I mean, there's just, oh, man. Imagine what we could have done with our lives if we'd have caught it sooner. But again, wasn't our purpose. Our purpose was to get beat on for a while and then find it. So that's cool too. I mean, hey, you know, I'm just glad I found it. It's not about when, it's about eventually getting there, I guess.
Right. And it's like, I'm kind of glad it wasn't, you know, like it's kind of weird though, technically on my deathbed, but I'm glad it was not when I was 95 years old. You know, at least now I can live for the Lord and do good works and live the life that he had for me.
Well, that's the most profound thing about your experience is that you literally we're going to burn. It had not been for the repurposing in God's eyes and the prayers of those who were faithful, you didn't even have a chance to repent.
No.
You were lost. That was it. Like, you
that was it.
And just burn. That's it. And that would be the worst.
Yeah.
We're not guaranteed another breath. We're not guaranteed another day. I mean, that's our small window. Narrow is the path, right? I mean, that's that being passive. That road really is narrow. And the more you read, yes, the closer you get, it's, man.
Yeah, the more you learn, the more you realize that he's not kidding. It's not easy. It's hard. Your life doesn't get better. It gets harder. But, you know, faint not, says Paul. If you can finish the race, faint not and finish the race like he did, you will have a crown of righteousness.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's funny. I love that finish the race. I mean, a race fan, number one. But two, I always thought it was funny because I've heard pastors, they told me, oh, yeah, it's a race. Don't you think you got to take a break once in a while? And I'm going, well, if you look at real racing, you don't want to because you get lapped. Like,
right?
Yeah, no, I think the idea is you want to run as hard as you can, and whatever it takes to get across the finish line, you're going to get there, even if it's hobbling.
Right.
You know, like, right? Don't quit. Just keep running. And it's going to be hard. Yep. And that's the thing I wish more people knew, is that it isn't all glitz and glam and butterflies and unicorns. It's actually quite the opposite, because in no way is the servant better than the master. As Jesus Christ said, you know, we will suffer for his name, and
that's right.
We have to. And honestly, we are supposed to take joy in that. So you can look back, and that's, like I say, you look at like 2.5 month time frame. It was bad, but then he gives you the blessing of looking back at it, going, whoa, this change. Wow, these things are so much better. Wow, thank you, Lord. I mean, everybody gets so doom and gloom about this. And, oh, they don't have my latte. Oh, I don't know what I mean. You know, yeah. These really stupid things. It's like, really? You think Satan will give you a latte? He might, but right? Pretty sure you won't want it.
Probably hand it and hold it right in front of your face with that straw just out of reach.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, caramel macchiato. This was your favorite, wasn't it? Here. Oh, nope.
I heard somebody say one time that, you know, that famous picture of the dude in hell, and he's reaching up for the dude out of hell and just like, hey, good. And he's like, yeah, you know, you want to pull him out. And kind of funny because it's almost like, is he trying to pull him out or is he trying to pull him in?
Pull it in. Yeah.
You know?
It's like you put crabs in a bucket, man.
Yeah, glass half full, glass half empty. But at the same time, that's how careful you have to be. Every little thing could lead to a big thing. But it's been an amazing thing, and I'm just absolutely happy to be here and happy to have been blessed to have found the Lord and Him to give me an opportunity, which He sheds that grace for everybody. It's just silly that we're literally given a gift. You don't do works for it. You don't do anything else. And all you got to do is reach out there and grab it. So many of us kind of reach out, but don't go all the way. And it's like, man, just grab it. Take it. And we just don't do it. And, you know, like I say, here we are. And I'd like to dive into some other things. I mean, just life in general. Like on a personal side, what's been the real reflection like in your normal right now? I mean, like, we're dealing with the fallout of COVID-19, and is it back? Is it coming back? How bad is it? I mean, we can talk about that for a bit.
Oh yeah. I mean, with the COVID-19, you know, you start getting into the mask issue, you know, wear the mask. Everyone, you got people screaming, hey, you know, my body, my choice. Some people are screaming, oh, you need to wear the mask. The mask thing is a pretty rough thing. But as you and I were talking about the other day, is it's, we kind of have to look at it as in a path and where it's leading. And, you know, is this what we talked about? It's like, hey, is this the start of the path of, you know, the mark of the beast? Is this just some other weird passive thing that's going to be marked on? You know, like, what is it that we're, where is this going? So the mask issue has been a pretty hot topic. You know, being out here in Washington, everyone's heard of, you know, seen the Seattle issue going on. And then, you know, it's starting to get pretty serious and pretty scary, you know, and it's now's the time to really start leaning on the power of God and trusting in Him, because right now we're getting a real clear glimpse of how helpless we really are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with that, we'll come back and we'll do some more. I want to get us a little break in here. Maybe we get some sponsorship. Who knows? Never know. But we got to get a break in and have some sponsors talk, and then we'll come back and we'll finish this up a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're back, and I mean, we're talking about COVID-19 when we left off, and actually more about the fear, and I just kind of wanted to lead off with Isaiah 51:12, and it's, I am He that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And then, you know, my favorite, 52:12, one chapter later here, and it's, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. I mean, you want to feel good at night and not have any discomfort from anything lurking outside the door. I mean, it doesn't get any better. So, I mean, where are you standing on this? But I mean, I know where I stand. We're not trying to tell people what to do, but I mean, where are you at?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to supplant the faith in the Lord when He says as much as, hey, you don't have to worry about nothing. I got you. So where do you kind of stand on that? Yeah, no, and you're dead. You're right. You know, the verse you just read, you know, He's behind us. He's before us. You know, who do we need to fear? You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, once you become saved, we live now in the spirit and not of the flesh. You know, viruses, the diseases of the flesh. And I know that's kind of hard for some people to like, your spirit, what do you mean you're in the spirit? I can look at you right now. Like, yeah, but
I like to reference back to one of my favorite Psalms regarding this kind of thing is Psalms 91. The whole thing is not very long. It's only 16 verses. It's pretty short, but it's very, very, very poignant.
Absolutely.
On how God will protect you and keep you, and how your faith and your trust just needs to rely on Him. But one of the biggest parts of this is in verse 10, where He says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thee dwelling." And so, putting your faith in God, He's telling you, "Hey, you don't have to worry about this. That I got you. You're not gonna get the sickness. You're not gonna get it. It's by faith." He says you must live in faith. You know, from there, 91:10 takes us over to Proverbs. Let's see here. It's Proverbs. I'm looking it up real fast. I have it here. 91:10 Proverbs 12:21. There we go. I had to jump over real quick. 12:21, it says, "There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with it." So the just, the followers, the faithful, there's nothing that can happen, nothing that can be done now. And then from there, we can take that straight over to 1 Peter 3:13, which comes out and says, "And who is he that will harm you? If you be followers of that which is good."
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like Isaiah 51:12. I mean, it's saying the same thing. And it's repeated. Everything you notice, the deeper you get into the word, is repeated in different ways throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. And it's just reassuring that what God says, He means. He can't tell a lie. So why are we so quick to back off? And this goes right back to what we started with. Are you riding the fence? And now then everybody wants to get in the argument of, "Oh, how do you explain cancer? How do you explain it?" Well, I guess my best take on it is, are you really off the fence? Are you 100% heart and soul into this? Or are you, "I show up on Sunday and I like my things"? Well, you put your eyes on your treasure. And if your treasure's on your things, yep, bad's going to happen. And you know what? Honestly, I look at it like this. It's like, if something is to happen to me, the worst case scenario is you send me home early. All right. And that sounds really twisted, but truly, that's how we're supposed to look at it. We have nothing to fear, because the worst thing you're going to do is send us home.
That's right. And it's like I said, I'm not worried about getting the virus, because God tells me that it's not something that I need to worry about. Now, I'm not to concern myself with the affairs of this life. It's like, yeah, hey, look, you know, it's out there, and you know what? If I get it, then it's going to be used. I'm going to get it because God needs me to do something, and that needs to happen to me. And like you said, if the worst comes to worst, quote unquote, and I die, well, I don't die. I can't die. I'm immortal. My soul liveth on.
Yeah, our flesh dies and rots away. That's true.
Right. Myself, I don't die. I can't. I will be resurrected. Like, my life is forever. And so it's like, what are you really fearing? When people are like, "You're afraid of dying," it's like, well, I can't die. The word tells me so. I have everlasting life. So what is it that you're truly fearing? A temporary discomfort?
Yeah, and this right here sums it up. I mean, you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but..." Of power and of power and of sound mind.
That's right.
I mean, what else has to be said?
That's right. And sound mind, you know, and that's that understanding. You put your focus in on Jesus, and you put your focus in on His word, and you will have sound mind. You will get this peace that passeth all understanding. You will no longer have to fear the craziness that's going on around you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other part of that is, and the people, "Oh, well, don't I have to worry about this?" Or, "You mean you don't have to do it?" No. Check it out. You have to be aware of your surroundings. What he's saying is through Him, His will is His will. I mean, yeah, like I said, you're not guaranteed your next breath. We know this. We know that tomorrow the sun might not rise for me. Just like you laid in bed. You could have never woke up and just been in darkness, and that would have been the end of it. And who could have fixed it? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
But, I mean, how quick we are to trick ourselves into saying, "Oh, well, John here is dead, but I know he's looking down on us." Well, he never went to church.
Yeah.
Did he talk of God? Well, no, but I know he is. And it's going, no, he isn't.
he was a good person.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that doesn't count. I mean, there was a lot of people that were Jews in the Bible that look at the Pharisees. I mean, these guys, oh, look at, they knew the Bible front, back, left and right, up and down. I mean, line by line, precept by precept, and that didn't get them anywhere. They burned too.
They're pretty hosed.
Yeah, exactly. So it's real life. Real life is a thing. We're here. Long suffering is real. The trials of every day, and you know, we're assimilating as aliens, but we are to what? Be set apart, stand apart, be different, because we're that shining light on the hill. We're that, you know, we're the lit candle. We put it on the lampstand, not under the bed, right? Well, it seems like a lot of people are putting it under the bed because they're scared. And it's so sad, because it feels like nobody's telling them, hey, let's really look at this. So it tells me that so many people are not only straddling the fence, but they're leaning back the other way. And that terrifies me, because, dude, it wasn't an easy transformation. I mean, you know as well as I do, it's still going on. It's an ongoing thing. Nobody's perfect. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that it's that understanding and the peace of knowing that he finishes what he starts. But first, you have to make it to him. And I just wish people were given the fear of God, the reverent awe. I mean, look around you. He spoke that into existence. So you don't think for a second that he has control over what happens to you. Like, you might think, oh, no, life is great. I got all this. I got all these things. Well, that's cool. What does it say about the man who was stored up for his whole life? He needed for nothing. Well, he didn't get to enjoy it, did he? It was all gone in a moment, and he had to give it out to everybody else because he was dead. And that was a waste. So, I mean, we just look at different things in the Bible that we can really reference even to today, and in the things that might seem minuscule to anybody listening, but they're really not. And it's so powerful.
And with that, you know, we talk about, you know, like the diseases, and we as Christians aren't of this world. In Ephesians 2, I believe 19 says, so therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. You accept Jesus Christ, and we're no longer a part of the things that are going on here. And so our focus needs to be on Jesus and what he says and how God says that we should live our life and turn from the ways of the world. And so when God says, hey, fear not, trust and have faith in me, and this is what's going to happen, man, you can take that to the bank.
Yep. Does not tell a lie, never will, can't, impossible, right?
And not like the George Washington style.
I didn't cut that tree down.
You know?
Yeah, we were talking before, and we were talking about, it's like a movie reference, like, come with me if you want to live. I mean, it kind of is, man. I mean, insert whatever you want to in that. It's more serious than how it's read. I mean, everybody wants to talk about, oh, God loves everyone. Well, it says many, 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 many times throughout the Old and New Testament, if you're not with him, you're against him. You're his enemy.
You are his enemy.
And you will not stand. Everybody, though, this is the thing I think people should really think about, okay? Even if you don't believe and you want to be an atheist, you want to pick us apart, whatever have you, just remember one thing. You, too, will stand before God and answer for everything you've ever said and done in your life. And you'll have to have an answer for that. And the worst part is, you know the end. You know at that moment you made a big mistake, but it's too late, and you're getting
no going back.
No,
yeah, there's no. It's not a second chance, because you've had a million chances already.
Exactly, and that's really scary too, because I can think about people in my life that I just, oh, I pray that they see it, and I mean, I even talk to people that admit, wow, they see it every day in the changes in me. And I'm so thankful for that. It's reassuring. But at the same time, it scares me, because then when I turn around and try to talk to them about it, they're like, oh, I'm a good person. And it's like, no, dude, no. I used to think that way. I really did. And it's just not that way. And there's only so much you can do. And I know maybe it's not their time yet, but man, it feels like everything's just coming to a head. And I know that's been said for forever, since day one. I mean, since year one, they'd be like, yeah, the end is near. And then, you know, it isn't, right? But it is. I mean, for us, it is. And it's always a desperate time because we need to go out. Like it says, we're soldiers. We go out and we take our own back. We got to find him. We got to bring people to him. And yes. Anybody can come. That's the coolest thing. All you got to do is believe. In faith, you're saved by grace. That's it. Right.
And through that comes with the understanding that, like I said before in Ephesians, you know, we're no longer a part of this world. We're a part of the kingdom of heaven. You know, in Corinthians, it talks about in whom the God of this world blinds people, which is Satan. You know, Satan at the time, you know, Satan's got run of the place right now. You know, he's in charge. You know, and if you're not hanging on to the true God for protection, you're lost. Without God, you are completely lost. The devil's got you. He's going to ring you around his fingers. He's going to run you through, and you don't have a choice. That's why we get back to that fence riding. You can't sit back and be like, "Well, I kind of like this." And how do you call it? The a la carte Bible. Like I like this, but I don't like that, and I like it. You can't. You have to.
Yeah,
say
it's the a la carte God. Everybody likes the a la carte God. Well, you know that makes me feel bad. Well, it's supposed to. That's why it's a two-edged sword.
It's supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, yeah, because you're not living right. We've lived it. Like I say, how many times you read and you start crying because you're like, wow, I am being selfish. And it's in the things that you think, well, everybody does this. And then you're like, wait a minute. Yeah, everybody does this. And you go, wow, I am just a rotten person still. And it's an ever-going change. But you have to dive into it to get to it. The fixing doesn't go unless you let go. And if you're not going to let go, you're just never going to get there. And
no,
it is. You got to let go of those reins. You do. It's extremely difficult. Like I was saying, I didn't have a nest egg. I just knew that I had to, and it was a show of faith. And through that, I've seen my wife get picked up. I've seen all sorts of other things change, even a short period of time. And then here it is, you know, we're back together again, and this is going. And like I say, it's an amazing ride. You just have to appreciate every day and everything and not worry about the next, because it's anxiety. Tomorrow creates anxiety, right? So we just...
We're told in the Bible to be anxious for nothing.
Exactly.
We don't have to fear. You don't have to sit around and look at your surroundings and be like, oh no, you know, it's all coming. We don't have to do that as Christians and followers of God. We are to be anxious of nothing. And to pray and glorify and to sing praises to God all day long and be grateful for the things that we have and not to worry about the things that are going on around us.
Yeah. Amen to that, bud. Like I say, it's so difficult because you talk to people and you think they got it going and you think they got it figured out. And then they say some things and you're just like, I mean, it's the simple things, the drunkenness. It doesn't say you can't drink. But no. You don't want to be drunk. Why would you even take that risk when he says he's not going to see you? If you're drunk and he shows up, because you don't know when he shows up to take us back in rapture, why would you even take the risk of, well, I'll be fine this day to do it? Well, maybe it's that moment. I'm not even taking that chance, bud. I just can't.
Yeah. And, you know, and with all the, you know, with the virus and stuff, we all listen to, you know, the CDC, the HWO, you know, the World Health Organization, and you listen to what they say, and everyone's like, oh, but they say this and they say this. But again, you come back to the Bible, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Absolutely. And that's, yeah, I mean, men
clucking chickens, or blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, okay, but you know what? What does God say? And that's where you put your faith in.
No, absolutely. And that goes back to, like, you talked about the news. I mean, that was one of my biggest comearounds was, you know, it's not just simply shutting off the news. It's shutting off the news. It's not allowing it to creep in. And if people say, well, you're sticking your head in the sand. Well, not really, because if you paid any attention, you have any common sense about you, anything you've seen, it's kind of reciprocal. It keeps coming around and coming around and coming around. And you can see what's coming. You don't need some guy that calls himself a prophet to say it on TV or whatever the hot thing is right now. It's, you be careful with that, guys. I'm telling you, don't get swept up in that, because you want to make sure that it's biblically sound. And remember, God says that none of their words will hit the ground. They won't fail in any way. So pay attention. And beyond that, it's a, it's a way to get yourself stirred up. You know, you don't want to go to bed angry. You don't want to rest on these things. It's hard to walk in the spirit if you're always angry and depressed and
not to sit down on your
yeah absolutely. So backing off of these things, you can enjoy many things. And then that's why for me, I had to get away from sports. I was idolizing them. And it doesn't mean everybody is, but I would push my family away for a 3-hour block to watch football and play fantasy football. I was loving it. Good at it. It was awesome. But you know what else happened in it? I realized was that anger, like it's a game. I'm not even playing it. And you get so heavy hearted in your team or what's going on. And you start MFing the refs. You start doing all these weird things.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, is this really good for me? Because it's not. You're setting an example for like me. I'm setting an example for my children. Well, you say, well, you can't always win, right? Well, and yet here we are acting like perpetual children. So how are we raising our children? So we have an example to set. We're responsible for them. Those are the flock in which God has given me. And honestly, I failed for many years, but it's coming back the other direction. And that couldn't have happened without him. So it's, you just got to be careful in what you do and how you do it. And make sure that you're really thinking about it, that it's really, oh, don't be judgmental. Well, then it's not true. He tells you to use righteous judgment and to be discerning. You discern what's going on. So I knew that was picking me apart and drawing me away from God and not the walk. So I had to remove it. But for somebody else, it might be no problem. So everybody's walk is different as well. It's not a holier than thou. Oh, you can't do this, that, and the other. Anybody that's given you a list of, well, you can't be in this church unless you're this, this, and this, well, don't go to that church because we already know it's not by works. That's so, right. And Jesus Christ is a
poor can't earn our way there. We don't deserve it. We don't.
Right. And like I say, he was a poor carpenter. So anybody that doesn't actually allow anybody that would be Christian, I mean, because they come from all walks. God says we're going to always have poor in our midst. But they're going to be brothers and sisters just the same. And yet, how many people walk by them? I mean, it's not passing judgment. It's simply, I've been there and I've realized this. And it's so important because you never know. Like we talked about before, it could be an angel you're walking by. That could have been a test. You don't know.
Yeah.
But it, you look at everything and you treat everybody in the same vein, which is love, right? Charity. Charity is love. So, and just things getting twisted and it's so hard. It's so hard. And there's so many hard things we deal with every day. And no, we're not
living in that love, that hope, you know, it's anytime anyone says, you know, starts talking about love, I immediately get brought back to, which is affectionately known as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. You know, it's like the way to live, the way to be, the way to handle yourself, you know, without love, it's nothing.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, you don't even realize it was a Greek. There's 7 different levels of love. Is it 7?
Yeah, 7, 6 right? Or 7. Yeah, agape and yeah. Obviously, we're not Bible scholars. We're just regular folks, people. But yeah, you know, you can see that right there. Like, yes, there. We have one word. We got love. But in the Greek, when you're studying the Greek, you start getting into it. There's several different types of love. And agape.
Which brings me to that. That in the end of John, where Peter's like, Jesus says, hey, do you love me? And he knows he can read him, but really he doesn't say, of course I love you. No, he says, I like you a lot. Because he knew he couldn't commit to the same level. He knew it in his heart because he's reading it. And even with that, you know, look what the Lord did with him. I mean, he was bipolar. He was all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who can't relate with that? Who hasn't just wanted to punch a guy, right? I mean, but then you look at him at the end, when you read 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and this guy, the student became the master. I mean, that right there is the work of God right before you. I mean, this guy denied Jesus Christ 3 times.
He lived in ultimate fear. He feared for his own life, even though he spent 3 years with Jesus and he still wrapped around his head.
Exactly.
He was afraid.
Yeah. And then look how strong he was in the end in faith he asked to be hung upside down because he wasn't worthy to be hung the same way as his Lord. So
that's right. And
we all should be so fortunate, I guess.
Yeah. And when, even in the end, you know, it was one thing I love about Peter too, is in the end, he admits, he tells us like, I don't know it all. You know, he says from the he was talking about Paul and saying, you know, the things that Paul's are saying, these mysteries, he goes, they're hard to understand. And this is Peter we're talking about. And Peter's saying this stuff is not easy. You got to look at that. Like, wow, like you really need to study this. And you really need to put forth the effort and ask God for that understanding. Because if Peter was having a hard time with it, well, I mean.
Well, I think everybody has a hard time with Paul, man. I mean, that guy was the slickest. If he was around right now and he was a car salesman, he'd sell it in truth and there wouldn't be a car left to buy because he knows how to move it. And that guy, I mean, it's just one of those things you admire about the man. And I feel like that's why a lot of people kind of misconstrue what he's all about. And again, you know, it's just there's so many things we can take from these people and apply it to our own everyday life and say, well, man, even these guys were having issues. Even these guys, you know, and it's – so it gives you hope in that as well, because man, I feel like an utter failure at least 1,000 times a day. Right. I mean,
oh yeah.
Oh, I said the wrong thing. Or, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Or, you know,
right. And especially when you know it and you still do it and you're like, why am I still being, and Paul even talks about it. It's like, I mean, Saul, yeah, Paul, like, why do I do the things that I do when I know that they're not right? And yet I still do them.
Yeah, but what is reassuring is that immediate noticing of it and repenting for it, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, 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 you know, and we know we're no good. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you know, covering us up and whenever we pray in his name and when we get up there one day, he's not going to see Nick or Scott. He's going to see, oh, Jesus and Jesus. And, you know,
that's right.
And that's what's really cool about it.
Right. And then just referencing back to that, I was telling you about Peter talking about, you know, Paul. That's 2 Peter 15 through 18. The very end of it is when he's talking about, he says, an account of the longsuffering of our Lord and salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood.
Absolutely. Learning every day, man. Hours and hours.
You have to dedicate yourself. That's that back to the fence riding. You can't sit on the fence going, well, yeah, maybe kind of. Like it's the polar bear challenge, man. You got to just jump in.
Yeah. That's something else all in itself, but that goes right back to that idolization. If I've got 3 hours to spend doing this, but I don't have 3 hours for the Lord, then there's something wrong with that mixture, because if you're not setting aside time, you're not being a very good servant. You see what I mean? It's a real pull that I've had on me, and that's why it's been so much of a crazy change in a short period of time, which I'm totally thankful for. But it's just all that wasted time.
It's become a privilege to be a servant of God. It's like once you understand what's going on, you're like, I am privileged to be here.
And like, that drink of water, bud. I mean, that's the same thing. Like, how much more do you appreciate it? If you've always had it, it kind of becomes a back burner. And I totally get, I guess, to some extent where it might be that way, because you just never knew. I mean, you look at it in children. We're all children. And that's the other part that people don't really understand. It's, you go to a Sunday school and everybody's like, oh, well, you're 13. So you're in here with the people that have been studying for 13 years. I'm like, no, I just started. So even like at 35, I just started. I'm a child. I'm a baby. I'm an infant. I'm on the milk. And people don't realize that. They just kind of box it off as in what's on the outside appearance. But really, our spiritual age is something totally different than our physical. And, you know, people overlook that and they just try to jump into the wrong things. And first and above all, you got to know who the man is, and you got to know what's going on. So you can't start diving into anything else. I mean, everybody wants to jump into Revelations. Well, what good is knowing what the end is if you don't know Jesus Christ?
Right. You don't know the beginning. And that's another thing, you know, it's like the Bible, it's one cohesive story that leads to Jesus Christ and the salvation of the world. You have to go to the beginning. You've got to understand the story.
There Absolutely. Is a story.
The beginning, there's a middle, and there is an end. And you want to make that, when that end comes, you are on the right side.
And with that, dude, we're going to say we'll do that in another episode, and we'll touch on some different things like that. We kind of went over a lot of things, and honestly, I hope people come back and listen, because we're going to talk about more. We're going to talk about how cohesive it is and how mind-blowing it is. And, man, God's ways are so much higher than ours that we can't even handle a grain of any of the thought, really. Just right. take you a month to recover from something new, and you're like, whoa, you know. So it's a very real thing, and all these things coming together, I just so thankful, but I'm thankful to be on here with you, and I'm thankful for anybody that's listening, and anybody that we can help. And some point here, we'll get something set up to where we can communicate more with everybody. We don't technology well. It's not really my thing here. So
I was gonna ask. So, like, I'm not even sure. Like, we're just brand new to us. You know, I don't know if there's comments available. Like, if there is, please throw down some comments. Add something to us. Ask us questions. You know, challenge us. If please. We say something that you disagree with, please dig into the Word and show us. And I will never not listen to the Word of God. So if you come out and say, hey, I don't think you're right on this, the Word says X, Y, and Z, man, I will hug you. Like, that is fantastic. Edify me and edify my brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. Extort and edify. That's what it's all about. We need to teach each other. We need to correct each other so we can all be on that very narrow path. And without the help of our brothers and sisters, and without the work of everybody together, man, we have no chance. It's so hard. It's so hard to stand, and we got to pull together. I mean, that's kind of our whole point. Like, why are we not together?
That's right. Well, and I think, I can't remember if you already brought this up or not. Hang on. Let me, it was 2 Timothy. I believe you already said the verse, but it was 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier in Jesus Christ. That endure hardness. Is the Greek word for that is kakopathosin, and it kind of references to like a military brotherhood. Is you're enduring hardness as soldiers of Christ. It's like the brotherhood. You are to link arms. You are to stand firm together. When one starts to fall, the two on either side lift them up. You know, it's a team effort. We're all in the body of Christ. We're all in this together, and we need to help each other. Be there for each other.
Absolutely, and then. That comes even from the military feeling of, you know, we need to lock arms and be pushing forward, and our brothers and sisters are out there and they don't even know their brothers and sisters yet. I mean, there's a lot of that, and there's a lot of people that ride in that fence, and we just want them to fall over here and help us, and we help them, and we get to the end, man. We get there together. We get to the land of milk and honey, you know.
That's right.
So with that, I mean, I want to give you an opportunity to drop some love on some people that maybe don't know the Lord. So let's go down some of that real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So we definitely want to let people know, I mean, at least in part or as far as we can get. If you don't know them, let's bring them to them and get you started. And we'll touch on this all the time. And again, guys, if anybody's listening, please, 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 you know, got questions, you want to say something we said wrong, please let us know and just leave us a message, however we can do it. And we'll do our best, because we don't want to get anybody in the wrong path, and we're not above all, end all, know it all. We're going on what we know, and we're only going to the measure in which the Lord has given us. So with that, if we can edify and lift each other up, amen to that. And we welcome it. And maybe even teach you guys something too in the meantime, because the Lord gives where he gives and doesn't where he doesn't. And it's just one of those things. And it's all really good. It's the extortion and edification of the church. And with that, we want to kind of lead you. If you don't know the Lord, here we let Scott kind of bring you guys down Romans Road a little bit.
Yes, Romans Road, affectionately known as Romans Road. Set of verses that Paul kind of lays out and explains what it is that you have to understand, what it is that you have to do to be saved. Now, we'll say this over and over and over, there's no works, you can't do anything to get into heaven, but that's not 100%. 99.9% true. There's one thing that you have to do, and we'll explain that right here. Romans Road starts in Romans, obviously, or not obviously, chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And what he's saying is you have to understand that you are a sinner. you have sinned against God. I mean, if you want to take it to the simplest of simple, you know, have you ever lied, you ever cheated, or you ever stolen a piece of bubble gum? Hey, you're a sinner. Sin goes a lot deeper than that, but we don't need to go there.
That's all of us. Don't anybody out there say he ain't. We still do it. Everybody does it. So
right? It's like, it is what it is. You know, just come to terms with it. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. So once you come to that realization, like, okay, yeah, I am a sinner. Then we come in and it moves over to Romans 6:23. And again, Paul explains it, says, well, the wages of sin, the price of sin is death. All right. The verse continues going on saying, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But the part of this that you want to focus on is you're a sinner, and the cost of being a sinner is what is known as the second death, the spiritual death. And we'll get into the depths of that later on. But what you need to know is being a sinner is death. It's the worst thing that you could possibly be. Leaving Romans 6:23, we move to Romans 5:8. And in 5:8 it says, but right? So this is the good thing. You'll see this in the Bible a lot. God will tell you something, and all of a sudden he'll be like, but, right? And here's the but. It says, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ died for us. He took on all of the sins of the world, and they all got hung on him on that tree, and he died, and he took those sins for you. And he didn't do that because you did something to deserve it. We were sinners. We didn't deserve it, and he did it anyway. So you look at that and say, hey, God commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners. We were still sinning. We were terrible people. Christ died for us. He took that away and took our sins upon himself and paid the ultimate price for us. So going from Romans 5:8, we go to Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9. But now here's the kicker. So this is what I was saying, you know, this is what you have to do. And this is it. And after this, it all comes down to faith. Now it says that if thou shalt, this is 10:9 again, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Speak it with your mouth. Confess with your mouth to the Lord Jesus Christ that you believe that he died and was resurrected 3 days later. He took your sin payment, the wages of sin that you owed, the sin debt that you owed to God. He took that for you. He paid that death price on the cross. And 3 days later, God resurrected him whole. Speak that with your mouth. Believe that in your heart. And God says, thou shalt be saved.
Yeah, it's 100% commitment too. It's not okay. And then, again, this is where we get after the kind of prosper gospel of, hey, yeah, you just say this and then you're going to have a sports car. That's not the case.
No.
Our treasures are so much higher when you think of the fact of eternity. And that is what we're supposed to focus on. Keep your eyes on the Lord and everything else comes together. We're always going to make mistakes, but step one,
that's right.
Understanding that we're terrible and we've done nothing good.
That's right.
We can't
right.
do anything good without him. So,
I'll leave off with, I'm just going to repeat them again, not the full verses, but just the verses in a row. I highly recommend, this is what I've done in my Bible, is the very first verse is Romans 3:23. Highlight that. And right next to that, right in there, in your Bible, right in there, Romans 6:23. To remind yourself. So all you ever have to remember is one verse, and you can always go back to it. So you go to 6:23. From there, we go to Romans 5:8. So highlight 6:23, write Romans 5:8 next to that. Come back to 5:8. And at 5:8, highlight that and write down Romans 10:9.
Yep, no joke, ladies and gentlemen. It's the same thing he had me do in mine, and it's still there to this day. And it's really hard because I've written all over, and it was, why would you do that? You get a study Bible. Well, I'll tell you why, because it's helpful to remember the journeys in which you go on with the Lord. We'll go over that stuff more, but.
Oh yeah. Our Bibles look like the apostle got a hold of them, man. They're,
yeah,
they're all but, different colors and marks and notes. And,
but I love it. It's just a cool way to be able to look back and see where he's taking us and how you view things, you know, the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 10th time, however many times around. you're blessed to be able to read it, and your understanding becomes more and more every time, and it's just a wonderful thing. And like I say, we'll cover more of that, but
we'll definitely dive deeper into the subject many, many times, you know, because that's that cornerstone, that's the rock, you know, that's the core understanding. Is once you understand and you believe and you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that's when the party starts.
Absolutely. And with that, man, I truly appreciate the time with you, bud, and I'll let you lead us out with a prayer, and we thank everybody, and we just hope that somebody out there, and we pray that they get something out of it, and it's been a use, and it's all to God's glory. There's nothing that we've ever done. So remember that, guys. It's always being thankful for absolutely everything, because without him, we have nothing. And so go ahead, Scott. Let's do a good one to the big man.
I always start out, Lord, thank you for today and the many blessings that came to me and to everyone else this day. Whether we see them now or we see them later, Lord, we know that you bless us every day. And we thank you for that. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to just to get with our brothers and sisters in Christ and hopefully get to know these people and to spread your word and to share your glory with everyone in the world, Lord Jesus. Romans Road, affectionately known, is extremely important, Lord Jesus. We want to make sure that, if nothing else, the understanding of how to come to you is put out there. It's the most important thing, Lord. It's why we're doing this, is we hope to not ourselves bring people to you, but for us to be the vessels for you to do the work through. We want to be able to be there and be useful by you, Lord Jesus. So please let us step out of the way and let people not hear our words, but hear your words through us, Lord Jesus. Thank you again for the many blessings, and Lord, I ask you bless everyone out there, keep everyone healthy and safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother. All right, buddy. Love you, bud, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, will do, bro.